Nicholas McGeegan is music director of the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra and Chorale. They have just released Rameau's The Temple of Glory, Le Temple de la Gloire, a live recording of the original 1745 version of this Baroque opera. And Maestro McGeegan, thank you for joining me.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
The opera was first presented for the King at Versailles, a collaboration between the playwright Voltaire and the composer Jean-Philippe Rameau. Can you tell me a little bit about that production?
Well, we have to go back a couple of months beforehand when the French army won a big victory. They weren't very good at winning wars until Napoleon came along, so they decided that this was an excuse for a really, really big party. And at Versailles, the home of the French court, this means the most splendid thing they could put on, which was opera and fireworks, basically. So the opera, they asked Voltaire, the greatest playwright of the day, and Rameau, the greatest composer of the day, to collaborate. This was slightly tricky. They're both cranky characters, but they collaborated before. And Voltaire decided to write a libretto which was not quite what was expected of him. What was expected of him was, Louis XV, you are the most wonderful person in the world, you are the greatest hero we can possibly imagine, because under your enlightened regime, France has won a battle, and therefore we are the greatest country in the universe, make France great again. He didn't do that. He wrote an opera on the subject, if you like, of what does it take to be a good ruler? And he does this by setting up, first of all, a prologue which asks the question. And then the first two acts show us bad rulers. They're bad for different reasons. The first one is a thug. He's a bloodthirsty, tyrannical thug who likes dropping people's heads off. He's a sort of Ivan the Terrible type. The second one is the guy who likes all fun and games of royalty. That's to say, lots and lots of money, lots and lots of parties, lots of champagne and girls, but not actually doing any work. And so he's obviously a bad candidate. And then the third act shows the good candidate, the paragon of rulers. This is the Emperor Trajan, the Roman Emperor, who was very good at winning battles, but then was magnanimous in victory, thought less about himself than his country, kind to everybody. And so the prize for the good ruler is, can you enter the Temple of Glory? This is a sort of ruler's hall of fame, as it were. The first two don't have a hope, of course, but Trajan is then admitted to the hall of fame, the Temple of Glory, and the obvious point to the king is, you've just won a battle, what kind of ruler are you? Are you going to be like number one, are you going to be like number two, or are you going to be like number three? And Voltaire actually asks that question not only of Louis XV, but also the audience, of course, listens in to the question too. But Voltaire did actually go up to the king and said, is Trajan pleased? Meaning, Your Majesty, you are Trajan, did you like it? And he didn't.
In fact, he didn't reply at all, correct?
He didn't reply. The question was far too pointed. He wasn't going to give up his mistresses and his parties and get down to the business of actually governing.
So then this opera, Rameau went on to be a favorite of the court at Versailles, and Voltaire eventually left and decided it was one of the worst periods of his life. The opera was staged twice, as I understand it, for the king, and then in different versions, but the original score and libretto was lost until it was sort of rediscovered at Berkeley. How did you find out about the score and libretto at Berkeley?
Well, what happened is that sometime in the 50s, 60s, the library of a French musicologist, I think, was simply bought as a job lot, and it ended up in the library. It was known about, but Rameau scholarship was not at a particularly high watermark, shall we say. And so what happened is that nobody really took on board that there were two versions of this piece. The original one, which is very political and pointed, and the second version, which has an extra dollop of shepherdesses in it to appeal to the Paris audience. And in that one, the point is lost. It becomes merely a grand divertissement, if you like, a big spectacle, but not so pointy to the king. I first went to Philharmonia Baroque in 85, and one of the people who sang in the chorus then was one of the graduate students called Victor Govender, who was studying Rameau, and he came across this score and started to study it and realized that it's not the same as any other version of the piece, and that this score is in fact unique. And he said, wouldn't this be great to do? And we were able in the early 90s to record some ballet music from it, but we had no possibility of being able to do a full staging. And it took, the best part of 25 years before we put a coalition together, an international coalition between America and France, to be able to do this fully staged version. And what you've got then in front of you is the CD that is a keepsake of the production.
Which was staged live in Berkeley in April of 2017.
Yeah, and David Bowles, the CD producer, was then able to take the three performances that we did and sort of cross-edit to get the best performance of each little piece to produce what is. It's a live recording. There's no studio time involved, no studio correction, so it's maybe not the most perfect recording in the world, but it is live and it's what the audience heard. And you can hear the audience. They're clapping, they're laughing, they're getting it. There's some lines in this which Voltaire made sure were very pointed, which actually got applause from the audience 270 years later or whatever.
It was almost surprising to me as I was listening to it to hear applause after the overture. It makes it like a living piece of music rather than sort of a historical artifact. One of the things that just impressed me right from the beginning about the scoring was the incredible brightness of it, and especially the work for woodwinds. Is this normal in Rameau's music, and especially I'm thinking the use of piccolo?
It's fairly normal from Rameau from the 1740s on. He didn't start writing operas till he was 50, and his first opera, which also had a libretto by Voltaire, is lost, unfortunately. It's called Samson. We've got the libretto, but we don't have the music. I suspect that Rameau might have reused some of it, but his initial operas are not so spectacularly scored. And then as he goes through the 1730s into the 1740s, as he's finding his language as an opera composer, his colour palette gets more and more extreme. The use of piccolos, these wonderful wind parts, very, very fancy, very elaborate, really defines the word baroque in the meaning of sort of fancy and full of curlicues, but also very, very colourful. It's sort of musical equivalent of Fragonard or Boucher, the two painters of the time, who actually were set painters at the opera. At least that's where they trained. And so you get this much more colourful music than you get before in opera and later. And it's much more colourful, of course, than anything you get in Italy or in England, because simply the budget is bigger. The orchestra was huge. And these operas also have dance, they have choruses. Choruses are quite rare in 18th century opera outside France. But because France had a big budget, and especially a piece like this, which is written for the king, no expense was spared. And you can tell.
The form of the opera ballet was meant to be almost...
Yeah. An opera ballet is an interesting form. Unlike opera, it's not one story that goes from beginning to end. It's one theme, in this case, what makes a good king, where each act shows a different aspect or a different answer to that question. So a character will often... There are very few characters, in fact, only one, really, Apollo, who appears in more than one act. So it means that you've got great opportunities for set changes, large cast, different costumes, because things happen at different periods in history. And this is very much a French thing. It's an excuse for a sort of enormous musical party.
And it flows so quickly. There are so many little bits of singing and chorus and arias and dance. It just moves along at almost an incredible pace.
It does. It's very different from a Handel opera, which you've got all the action in the recits and then you have a 5-minute aria. There's no aria that takes more than a minute or two in this. It's a different way things time. It's not quite opera in real time, but it's more like it than Italian opera.
It must have been a thrill to see this finally come to life on a stage with costumes and dance and everything else after all that time.
Oh, you're not kidding. It really was a dream come true.
Nicholas McGeegan conducts the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra and Chorale in this new recording of Rameau's Le Temple de la Gloire, the Temple of Glory. Nicholas McGeegan, thank you so much for joining us today.
My great pleasure. Thank you so much.